Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Born February 10th in Morristown, New Jersey. He is an engineer and former NASA astronaut who has spent over 107 days in space, served on the space shuttles Endeavour, Discovery and Atlantis, as well as multiple missions on the International Space Station. And these days he's a senior advisor for SpaceX. And he's here today to talk about the upcoming NASA and SpaceX flight to the International Space Station. Please welcome, Garrett Riesman.
Garrett, welcome to the show, man. What an honor to have you, man. I'm a huge fan. Oh, Garrett, there we are. Garrett, hold on, sorry, my button. There we go. You there?
Yes,
kid. There he is. There you go. Thank you, sir. It's so great to have you here. I'm excited about this return to space with SpaceX and what it means to have NASA and SpaceX and Elon Musk and everybody working together and kind of returning us back to the glory days of space, of people being excited and watching what can happen.
Yeah, it's a super exciting time. It's great. It's great time to be in this business. About 9 years ago, we decided to stop flying the space shuttles and make something new. And we've been working really hard since then. And now we're finally at the point where we're ready to launch it. And it feels great.
What does it feel like? Is it just that without the government bureaucracy that the guys like Elon Musk and you working with them, they can kind of get it done faster? It just feels like it progresses a little quicker.
Yeah, one of the biggest differences I observed moving from NASA over to the private sector and SpaceX is just the vast increase in decision speed. And the reason that we're able to do that is that we have a lot of agility at SpaceX. So if we make a decision quickly, the danger is you might make the wrong decision, but we can find out quickly and we can rapidly turn on a dime and reverse course and fix it. And that is really what's been the key to this success.
How different is it, though, going to work with a guy like Elon Musk, who is a mad genius of sorts? He's not erratic, but unpredictable to a lot of people. And I think that's amazing. From electric cars to space travel to how he made his money, it's all so very unlikely that I think he's an incredible character.
Yeah, I would say, it was extremely exciting working for him. And it's a very dynamic thing. He's not really what I would describe as a laid-back kind of guy.
Right, right.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to get the human species multiplanetary, that's the way you got to go.
Yeah, no, that's it. I think he is the future of at least the impetus to get us moving again. And it's sad. It's got to be a little sad for you, Garrett, that you're not going to be on that flight.
Oh, I know, but Bob and Doug are friends of mine. They're going to do great, and I've gotten plenty of chances. I've done spacewalks, been on the space station, flew in the space shuttle. I'm happy to let somebody else take a turn.
See, I don't think you could ever get that point where you would be like, oh, I'm happy for you. I feel like, that's been such a dream of mine since I was a kid, and just the idea of it all and always being such a fan of, from the original Apollo stuff. And so much, I went all the way to Moscow to go to the Space Museum there.
Oh, you went all the way to Moscow?
Yeah.
I missed that.
That Space Museum there is amazing. We went there, and that was my main reason for wanting to go to Moscow.
They do have a great museum.
Yeah.
And they got, did you see the little dog?
Strelka and Belka. Sure, of course. They're both, as soon as you walk in on the left side, they're taxidermed in glass cases.
That's right.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's
there.
And you think about what's going to happen May 27th. We are sending we're so much closer to sending civilians into space. Tell me this: do you think it's 10 years away, 5 years away, 20 years away to when a civilian can buy a ticket?
I think it's about 1 year away because we already have plans. The great thing about this new partnership is the public-private partnership. The way we're doing this flight is, yes, it restores the capability of NASA and America to launch our astronauts into space, but it also opens up the door for private citizens to fly, and we already have plans to do that in 2021. So, yeah, this is the dawn of this whole new golden age of spaceflight. It's actually much closer than you probably think.
I love it. I can't tell you how much I love it. And I know Alon's got to have a seat right up at the beginning of it all.
He's not going to go on the very first couple launches. He's got a lot of work to do, but he does eventually want to get to Mars. He's joked that he wants to die on Mars, just not on impact. But he wants to get there. His last years up there.
It's they're already giving me the rap, Garrett. But I got to tell you, I'm just such a huge fan of everything you've accomplished and what you've done, and this incredible friendship between NASA and SpaceX. I think it's going to be an amazing time in our world.
I did too. I think this is the start of something really big, and so I hope everybody tunes in. I'll be on CBS. You can see me there. But you can watch this on a variety of different networks, and it's going to be a super exciting event.
Now, I know they're going to have you running a lot of publicity, but you're certainly welcome. I'm going to give Jake, he'll give you all of our information, and if you ever get any spare time at all, I'd love to have you back on without a time restraint so I can ask you all the questions that are bouncing around inside my head.
That'd be great. That'd be fun.
Right on, man. Hold on. It's probably what we need most of all right now, to be excited about something other than arguing with some other politicized dick move.
And he had a great personality, great, you know.
Dude, he's an astronaut. He's better than most men.
He had a sense of humor. You know, when you talk to some people, you're like, oh, you really do have it all going on for
yes.
you. All of it.
Well, think about it. If you can make the jump from NASA to the Elon Musk world, mm-hmm. you've got to be pretty able to move and change. You can't be so structured and rigid that'll never survive. That's how Elon Musk gets it done. Now, you know, as everybody, and you say it out loud, this has to go well. It has to go well.
Yes, I say it's got to work.
You know, that's
it's got to work almost perfectly.
It's incredibly dangerous. It is incredibly unpredictable.
Expensive.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion that it will work every time that, you know, things go wrong. And so it is very much like, can we really do this? Mm-hmm. Because once we get that down pat, we are going to start sending people in. I have a hard time believing that, you know, anyone other than a billionaire willing to spend, you know, tens of millions, period, the lowest I could possibly imagine to get in there. It's going to be amazing if we can colonize the moon. I don't know if we need to, but I'd like to see us do it. We just got to figure out the biggest thing. Without nerding out too far, Nick, is we don't know how to propel ourselves far enough away to find an inhabitable planet. We have it theoretically built, or maybe they do and they're not telling anybody, but we don't have the engine to push us fast enough, far enough. It's, you know, when they start talking about light years away, we just...
Yeah, they have the theories, but they haven't. They're not
says anything yet. This week, Elon Musk put up his L.A. home for $35 million, so it's up for sale.
Or
he may be already moving.
The budget went a little over.
I don't know.
He's moved into a studio.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says, but it happened.
He could be the very thing that changes the direction of humanity. And that's a big statement. Mm. But consider what we're talking about. This is the guy who brought us back into space and is making it possible. And his background is not in any way in astronomy or avionics engineering. I mean, how this has all happened, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. This isn't even how he made his money. What, on PayPal, right?
Yeah,
he made his money on PayPal. He became the guy who's going to bring us a real electric car. It's happening, and it's mm-hmm. going to drive itself.
Yeah, a car that could drive itself.
Dude, this is Jetsons level craziness. I was pretty stoked about having flat TVs.
Yeah. You know. And he's had his failures too. He had the kick-ass truck with the unbreakable windows.
It's going to come though. You know he's going to deliver.
But that's what I'm saying. At least he's out there. He's trying.
I'm excited about this dude making a motorcycle someday. You know, that electric Harley is amazing. But I'm wanting to see what this guy always does. It weird. So there's just a whole lot of somebody just pointed it out of Howard Hughes in this guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Very similar, yeah.
Only a little less crazy.
What did he just name his kid?
Oh, it was a joke. Right. I think. Is it really the kid's name? It's like X15. It's like an equation.
He kept doing interviews trying to explain it to people. And this in between interviews where he's not smoking weed.
He also knows how to get the attention.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's part, you know, P.T. Barnum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he's a fascinating cat, man. I wish we'd have had some option or opportunity to meet him or interview him at some point. But now I think he's so far down the road that it's I don't think he's going to do any radio and local levels.
He's playing in Mars, Johnny. Jesus.
Yeah, well, listen, we can reach out to Rogan. We're still got a good connection with Rogan. He and Rogan are friends. So you never know, man. But it is cool. It is a cool time to think about us sending people into space, about electric cars, about, you know, cars that drive themselves, all the things that are in the future. It's pretty cool. And again, you think it's a joke, but I still look at my TV and go, man, that's like an inch thick. But remember, I remember, you know what a channel changer was? It was called a kid.
Yeah.
Your dad would go, hey, turn it to 4.
Do you know how
plunk,
heavy?
Plunk, plunk. And then the original mechanical channel changers, did you ever see, do you remember those?
Yep.
He would push a button and there was a wire that went to it and go gunk, 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 gunk. And then there was the remote for the VHS that was just a wire. All they did was extend the wire on the button, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And TVs weighed approximately 5 million pounds.
I had to move that out of my house and into Mike's house in my Saturn. Do you know how heavy that thing was? We were about the same weight.
You're lucky you didn't tip over.
I know.
And like many people, most of my years, until I was almost in high school, we had a giant wood case TV that didn't work with a TV on top of it.
Of course.
We used the TV that didn't work as a stand for the TV that did.
That's exactly right, man. It's cool times, man. And I get to live in a time when Buzz Aldrin at age 70 punched a man in the face because he made the mistake of calling him a coward and he was a moon denier.
You're the one who said you walked on the moon when you didn't. Calling a kettle black, if I ever thought of it. Saying I misrepresented myself.
Away from me.
You're a coward and a liar and a thief.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9 The Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.